Hey everybody, welcome to My Opening Movies. This week we are talking I don't even know how to put this. It's a recommendation from a friend of ours that has been recommending it for a long time. It's a lot of fun. It's a kind of 1980s sports movie. This one's about biking. It's called Rad, and it is easier to find than it used to be because it just got a re-release on Blu-ray, but it is a lot of fun, and I would highly recommend you seek it out and enjoy as we talk about this BMX movie, I guess. Anyway, thanks for doing all you did to keep us on the charts. Thanks for sharing us. Thanks for honestly contributing. You reaching out and sharing us is incredibly helpful, and we really do appreciate it. Thanks, everyone.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we're talking BMX biking as we talk Rad from 1984. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, and on panel, we've got...
Kieko.
And Matthew W. Quinn, who thinks this really is totally radical, man.
So, we are watching a movie, which I decided to do because Kieko here is one of our biggest fans. And supported the Patreon and supported everything
Thank
we've done.
You.
And she's
Thank
been a guest several times. And we're like, what's a movie that we can do to kind of make sure that she gets a pick in here? And so we have another one of hers coming up later. But this is a movie you've pitched to us before a couple times because it's your husband's favorite.
It is my husband's favorite movie. I'm going to try to do it justice.
And it is ridiculous in a good way. It's a lot of fun. I've also just put a plug in here. This is a Hal Needham movie, and if you don't know Hal Needham, he is a stuntman and a stunt director. This is the only movie he actually directed, but he is known for previous movies, including The Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit, which he was the scripts guy and the stunt director on. And so this is the first movie he actually directed, which is why it's kind of stinks of those 80s, like, I don't even know what, like, you know, like the cops are kind of the bad guys, but they're kind of like, oh, you rapscallions, like, you know, Burt Reynolds movies of the 70s. And then he's like, but what if bikes and kids?
I thought this was kind of like The Karate Kid, only much less dark.
First of all, it's exactly The Karate Kid. The plot is like, the plot even ends where at the end, William Zabka comes up and goes, congratulations! Like, that scene is literally the end of Rad 2.
Yeah, if Johnny Lawrence's switch was from homicidal sadist to horny, because not Johnny Lawrence is always in the company of two girls with giant hair.
It's Crew Jones. Oh, wait, no, not Johnny Lawrence. Oh, you're talking about...
The antagonist blonde biker.
Bart Taylor, the man.
Bart Taylor, who, by the way, was funny. Bart Taylor gets top billing in this movie, even though he's barely in it. I believe he was an actual dude. Bart Connor is his name.
Yeah.
And he... Okay, so we just need to throw it out here. This movie is absolutely nuts. And we'll do our best to stick it together. But Bart Connor, who played Bart Taylor, is a gold medalist from the 1984 gymnastics team. And he actually has two gold medals, one for team gymnastics and one for the parallel bars.
So that's why, oh my gosh, you're blowing my mind. Okay. Because at the end of the movie, after Crew, I don't want to spoil it, guys.
No, go ahead, please.
But after Crew wins, Bart Taylor's, he's like, what am I going to do? What are you going to do next? And he's like, this isn't the only game out there, man.
Yeah.
He's talking about gymnastics.
Yeah, he's a gymnast. He's actually a gymnast.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense.
And this movie came out 2 years after he won the gold medal. So he probably showed up to set wearing
and just
like bling bling. This is what I call the girls, my gold medals. we should also mention current prisoner Lori Loughlin is in this as the love interest.
Yeah, this is where she learned how to cheat academically, because that's a big plot point later in the movie.
It is. This movie foreshadows her career.
I wonder if they used that in her trial as
Can
like
you imagine, evidence. Can you imagine being the prosecuting attorney and being like, I have my closing statements, and you just play the film clip?
Shows right here completing someone's biology homework.
So, okay, I
We have a history, so I'm going to set the foundation here. So,
please.
And I'm going to do my best. My husband is not like a person to speak about things, so he wasn't going to be here, but I'm going to try to do it justice for him. But so this movie was a movie that he and his brothers watched every year. They would go on their like summer vacation.
Sure.
Every single year, it was like an annual tradition to watch this movie at least once, probably more than once.
Sure, sure.
So, and like, also, I feel like people our age, we have in our childhood a phase where we just kind of were on bikes for a few years. Like I was.
Oh,
were
totally.
You?
Oh, no, absolutely. I was also going to say, you kids today with your, you know, hippie hop, you don't realize what it was like to have like three VHS tapes, right? Because now it's all streaming. So I'm sure at this rental house that he went to summer vacation at, there were five tapes to watch.
No, they brought it.
They brought it. Okay. But even still, you had X amount of...
Did they have a TV in their car?
No. They did have a TV in their car.
No kidding.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they had a TV.
Yeah, back then that meant something.
Yes.
Little rich boy over here. but like... You had X amount of tapes because, like, a cassette tape today was like a $35,
$40. It was like, an investment.
That's why the old Disney tapes go for hundreds now.
I don't think that's true. Is it true?
Oh, dude, if you can have like an original printing of like The Lion King,
because I see them all the time at the thrift store and I don't get them because I think
reprinting.
That's fake.
Oh. Look up eBay. Like, this is no joke. If you can get like early editions, they're worth hundreds of dollars.
Why?
Because. We, as a generation, now have some money, and...
We are very nostalgic.
And we're nostalgic. And people are doing everything they can to destroy things we used to love. They brought back Surge for 20 minutes, and I bought a case of that stuff. And it tasted like garbage, and I was happy. I was happy! But I was just... All that to say, I'm sure there was this... They had five tapes that they brought down, and this is the one that they won. It's the same thing. Me and my brothers had the, and I'm sure they're here somewhere, the Mighty Ducks movies on VHS. We took that Columbia Movie Club for all it was worth, and we watched those tapes 1,000 times. Because that's why I know Angels in the Outfield. I can close my eyes and just see Chris Lloyd showing up. So I know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, so this was that for them. And this movie embodies that, like, That phase when you're just like on your bike, nothing to do but ride your bike. I mean, I wasn't like a BMX biker or anything, but like I remember there was like a good, you know, 2 or 3 year period where what did I do after school? I would come home, I would go on my bike and I would ride around my neighborhood and in the woods. We'd go on trails and like we'd do that until sundown.
My parents have a neighborhood that had a circle. Right. And it was about a mile.
So
like I would go home and I had friends at various points and I'd go to their house and they could either play or they couldn't. But I would just bike the circle.
Go pick them all up and go around. We'd go down to there was a gas station that was about a mile from my house.
Yeah.
So we would ride down to the gas station. We would also go like we lived, you know, in a small town and we would go out to this one road and we would set up obstacles in the road, like not big things, like cans and like stuff and wait for cars to pass by and knock them over. We did get in trouble for that, but
dude, okay.
Did you grow up in the same kind of town now. The movie takes place in?
No, the movie's in Canada. This was in Alabama. This is the kind of thing that people in Alabama do for fun.
So I was spending the night at a friend's house from the show, Michael Krause, and him... And friend of the show, Scott Miller, and I were staying over at his house for his birthday party. You know, like the friends had all come for the party, and then we were the close friends, so we got to spend the night. And we were walking around his neighborhood. At night. It was like midnight. And across the street from his neighborhood, there was a new neighborhood being built. So there was construction crap everywhere. And we were, 10 or 11, maybe 12. Yeah, let's see, 12. And so... We were picking up this construction Michigas, right? And we were waving it at cars. And I'm almost positive one of us picked up a metal pipe of some sort and we're thrusting it at cars, like, you know, boys do. And some nuts and bolts had fallen out of the thing. And so a car drives over this stuff, and they get to the end of the block and slam on the brakes and start backing up towards us. And so we start screaming and running through the neighborhood. And we see the car driving around. At least, and again, this is the memory of someone from more than 20 years ago. So God knows if any of this connects. But like, I just remember running and hiding and peering around houses looking for this, you know, furious
enraged
man.
Adult.
Right. Oh, God help me. That just triggered such a vivid
memory. So this was similar for us. Like, so we were setting up, you know, it was like harmless stuff. It was like empty cans, like, you know, whatever. And I remember we were like hiding in the bushes waiting for cars to come by, and a cop car came by. And slowed, and we were like, oh crap, he's gonna keep going, and then the car just stops, and then he flashed his light at us, because we're like crouched in the bush, and he flashed the light at us, and we kind of peek out of the bush, and he's like, y'all are gonna pick this up, right? And we were like, so but I feel like the movie kind of, it brings me back to that. Like, when I watch it now, I'm reminded of those feelings, of those, free, whatever. So,
because that's a lifestyle, you know, some of these kids lead. Like, crew, it's like Christopher Jones or something. And this other dude and this kid.
The actor is Bill Allen.
This other BMX biker kid, and this third kid who I actually thought was a long-haired boy is actually a girl.
It is a girl.
They just hang around this lumber yard BMXing around, and the cop will every so often try and chase them out. And it's all very good-natured, like, okay, bye, kids.
Yeah, for sure, because at that point, well, we haven't done a synopsis yet, but at that point in the movie, he says, the cop's here. He wants to play. He's ready to play. So it's really a good-natured...
Well, and he's... The way I interpreted that eventually was that he's protecting the kids because he wants to be the guy who scares them off rather than someone from the lumberyard. That's how.
Yeah, maybe they weren't supposed to be in that place.
Right, and so like the last thing you want is like the foreman to come after you with a machine.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Ooh, you kids!" Yeah, but I mean, he stands up for him. It's a good character. It's got a Hal Needham kind of like
very wholesome.
Yeah, like you just imagine the guy like throwing his hat on the ground and stomping it. He goes, "Oh, you rapscallion!" Do you still bike?
No. We do once a year. We go on vacation. We go to Hilton Head. It's a big biking place, and so we bike. I even biked. When we had a 4-month-old, I wore...
Oh, and like a Bjorn?
I wore him and rode with him. Never very far, because, you know, you don't want to go that far. But, we biked.
Are you a biker?
I have a bicycle. I haven't taken it out in a while. I haven't taken it out in a while. I need to put some air in the tires.
I need to do it. I need to get back on that.
I used to love biking so much.
I had a wicked injury at one point.
On a bike, from biking?
Is that when you had both arms,
I was going around the old neighborhood, as you will. And we had this one way you could go that was almost completely downhill. So you go to the top, and then you could go downhill for almost 3/4 of a mile. And it was the first bike of spring, you see. And over the winter, my bike had gotten rusty. So I'm going down the hill, and I'm trying to tap on the brakes, but rather than tapping, it latches. So I fly over the handlebars, land like this. I crack both radial heads and my elbows, and I break my wrist in 3 places. So I have my arm in a sling like this, and I'm trying to feed myself with my other...
I feel like that would make me hate bikes if that happened to me.
I really hadn't done it much since. Like, that was in high school, so I was... sophomore, junior in high school.
Well, that's kind of when you quit biking anyway. Like, normal humans in high school, you just don't bike anymore after that. Like,
and so my wife has a bike, my kids have a bike, and like, I had that bike for a long time, or a bike for a while, because at college, like, I even had a bike because it was a big campus, but I was like, I'll walk or rollerblade. Like, I don't want to do it. I had some sick rollerblade. We'll do a rollerblading movie at one point. But I should do it, but wear your helmets, kids.
Yeah, because no one seems to be wearing helmets, and no one seems to be wearing helmets in this movie very often either.
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, it's the 80s.
It's the 80s. They didn't have brain cancer, or they didn't know what a traumatic brain injury was yet.
Yeah.
But I really did have a former student die a few years ago from a brain injury on a bike. So be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful. Who wants to try to do the plot synopsis? I feel like you're champing at the bit, so you can do it. I mean, there's not really a plot.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. So we've got Crew Jones, which is Bill Allen, a personal friend. I'm just kidding. He's not a personal friend, but I do have a story.
So to help paint the picture, he looks like Mark Hamill, but made for television.
Oh my gosh, that is very accurate. He's the Wish Mark Hamill. Actually, he's not. He's a very, you know, handsome, good looking guy, but he does look a lot like Luke Skywalker. Like a lot. Like you're like, this is the 80s, and he looks so much like Luke Skywalker that it's a little weird. But it's Bill Allen. He's Crew Jones. And Crew is a guy that just loves to ride his bike with his friends. That's what's established in the beginning of the movie. They like to go out after school, ride bikes, whatever. What we learn is that there is a big competition coming to town. And Crew could have an opportunity to place in this race and actually become like a famous biker. Like he can win this huge award and become a professional biker, but it happens to be on the same day that he's supposed to take his SATs. So he's kind of in a quandary. He doesn't know, you know, what he should do. He wants to do the bike thing. His mom wants him to take his SATs. So then, I mean, I guess what happens, he figures out, he decides to do it.
Well, we should say that the biking competition has its thumb on the scale. No one's supposed to actually win from the town.
They don't want anybody from the town, yeah.
It's supposed to be like an exhibition of some sort, but they're throwing the idea out that this town in Southern California, wherever it's supposed to be set, could theoretically win some money.
That's a good question, because it's filmed in Canada. I wonder if it's set in Canada.
It's not, because the two of the like hardcore bikers are referenced as being from Canada as though it's somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm getting the same vibe. This is The Last Starfighter, California.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
that makes sense.
Since it looks like farmland in Southern California. Like, like we're in Sonoma or something.
Yeah.
And it's very pretty. Like, they show the mountains off in the distance a lot. The X-Files is being filmed next door. Like, it's you know, Canada, USA.
And there's enough hills for them to BMX down the hill and occasionally end up in the river.
And for him to first base it with Lori Loughlin. We'll get there.
Also in the river.
That's right. That's like...
We'll get to that. I mean, yeah.
It's a lot of hot people making out. I don't know what to tell you. Go ahead, Kate.
So then... But also, there is the school dance. And... which is important.
We're on the dance floor. The adults want to watch the hot people
because
dance.
Because they're... The biker people from out of town are at the school dance for some reason, and they have, I guess because they're also high school aged. I think that's established.
We forget that the 80s high schoolers look like Becky, they were 45.
Yeah. Uncle Becky is also a high schooler.
I think you mean Aunt Becky.
This is what we call her. We call her Uncle Becky.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Just making sure.
So she's also a high schooler, so that she must be like, you know, traveling or whatever. So the cool guys, the out-of-town, like, professional bikers, there are twins, and they have, like, hot girls that follow them. So they have this fully choreographed dance at the school dance, and then Crew comes in with Uncle Becky, and they do a bike dance to the song Send Me an Angel, which is a very good song. And it's actually a song that you can sometimes still hear on the radio from time to time, which is pretty exciting.
First of all, this soundtrack is incredible.
It's really good, right?
I want it on vinyl, and I want it to be colored like the logo. Like one of those printed ones where it's just like that blue and red.
Yeah, the bright red and blue. it's really good.
When the whole bike prom sequence, Send Me an Angel, that is so 80s. Like this movie is so transcendently
80s. Oh my gosh, with her glitter sleeve shirt and also
and those massive hair.
It is a guy doing all of that bike work.
Oh my god. Lori Loughlin like grows a foot and a half every time she does this. Like when she's biking down the hill, I figure she can handle that, but when she does like a flippy do,
no, the bike dance is all a guy in a wig.
And it's amazing because she goes from being like eye to eye with him to a foot taller than him. It is, is chef's kiss.
It's so good.
Okay, so I'll go on my own personal journey with trying to get this movie because I love this movie. It was a lot of fun. I was like, I want to do this justice because we have a friend who recommended it to me. I need to make sure I get a copy that is legitimate. I was going to buy it. Vinegar Syndrome, one of these like boutique companies, put it out. It's sold out immediately because everyone loves it.
Yep.
And now to get it, you have to pay $190 on eBay to get that Vinegar Syndrome one.
So for years, actually, you couldn't even buy this movie. You could not buy it legitimately. It did not exist legitimately. So the copy that we had was a bootleg disc because you couldn't get it. No. And you know, my husband would have paid the people the money, take his money to get the real movie.
Yeah.
But actually, what he made me do was we would like once every frequently we would search on all the streaming services.
No kidding.
So we would search on Netflix. We would search on Amazon. He sent messages out to some of his friends to ask them to also search for the movie so that there would be a demand. And I kid you not, shortly after we started doing that, it became available on Amazon.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I found. Like, I think because Vinegar Syndrome cleaned it up, they started licensing it because you can get a $10 copy of it now. But I will say, I went even classier than that because Canopy, the streaming service that has all the French neorealism, the Italian post-contemporary, Rome Open City, also had Rad on it. So I'm watching Criterion Collection, things subtitled from Russian into English.
And Rad.
And it was a VHS rip, and I was back in the cabin.
The copy that we had for years was very bad, and we bought the one on Amazon, and he actually bought it for his high school buddies, like, as a gift. He was like, you know, here you go, you know, and it was also, I mean, I don't know, it might actually be better than when we first watched it on there. They may have improved the quality. Maybe after the Vinegar Syndrome, maybe they fixed it, because it used to be, I remember when we first got it, we were like, wow, this is terrible for having paid, you know, $10 for this.
And I mean, and I believe it just because, like, looking at, like, I can see where they clean, like, because again, it's just something I have done some little bit of work with, just, but like, it's incredible because we haven't even talked about the movie much, but you have the opening, like, boom, directed by Hal Needham. And then for the first, like, 8 minutes, it's just dudes bouncing around on BMX bikes, who I assume are every other biker in the entire movie.
It's a nice soundtrack, but it takes a while to actually get started.
Dude, I'm fine with it. Because these dudes are just, like, wearing, like, they're wearing suits like they're about to drive a NASCAR. And they're just, like, hopping around on bike tires. And they're just like...
That's very accurate.
What is this? Is this what the movie is?
And then they do those little spinny things. Like, it's really cool.
And I know none of the trick names, so I'm going to call them spinny dudes. But I'm with you. The spinny dudes, like, you might as well be playing like that. That what is that? The Spiritual Moves album from the 90s. Just like, Audie Amos, like, who can say what?
They're just doing Enya.
And they're doing the little spinny dudes that are just like watching meditation. And then all of a sudden, an 80s guitar and a saxophone kick in. I'm like, no, this is better. Just do this. If you could do... Okay. So random. But I got my wife. She's a huge Beatles head. I got her Yellow Submarine, which is an atrocious movie. It's nonsense.
I like the movie.
It's stupid, but it's fun, right? That's where I am. If you get the fancy Blu-ray, you can turn off the words, and it's just the cartoon and the soundtrack. If you did that for this, there's no words. It's just the soundtrack, them doing BMX. It's a perfect film. Oh, God, help me. I had so much more fun with this. I mean, we're starting right away with he works for USA Today because it's 1986, and that's what you did. And he's doing Ferris Bueller, the last scene of Ferris Bueller.
Delivers newspapers.
And he's going through people's backyard. He's going around. A woman hits her with her car and doesn't even notice. The kids are like...
Because he like does some loop-de-loop stuff off the car.
He's timing himself because he's trying to get a good time because he's thinking about placing. So that's why every time he goes, he's like, oh, you know, I almost had it.
He wants to, he, whatever time he starts, he wants to finish by 7:10 because that's his time. But like, And again, it's also this, the town is waking up and everyone knows him.
Yeah.
Because he's biking down the road and the fire department is going by and he hands it off. By the by, the guy who is just an actor, he's not a BMX guy. He was just good enough to fool them all.
Yep.
Which is somehow even better.
So I think this is a good time for my Bill Allen story, the actor.
Do it.
So, well, like, Rad has been an important part of my husband's life for a very long time, right? So every year I get him a Rad-themed birthday gift. So a lot of times I'll make a shirt. So like one year I did, and now that we have kids, I do shirts for the kids too. So one year I did one that said bike dance with me, and it was two people like on bikes, you know, like, and it, like, with the bikes up in the air, like the bike dance scene. And then the shirt is purple. I'm really proud of this. The shirt was purple. And in purple text, I put, send me an angel. Like, it's whispering. So you can just kind of see it shining in. Like, you, if the light shines on it, you can see it say, send me an angel. But you can't see it, like, outwardly. Last year, I designed one that was, he was also into Mandalorian. So I drew Mandalorian and Baby Yoda riding on bikes and like popping wheelies. Baby Yoda had like a unibike and it said Radalorian.
I was gonna make that same joke.
It's very niche. Not many people get that one, but he does have people approach him about his other like Rad shirts. So you know, so every year I do something. One year I actually made Crew Jones's helmet. So his helmet in the Helltrack race, it's like this red helmet with stars all over it. So I made that. So I bought a helmet on eBay. I painted it red, like painstakingly, you know, traced it off to do the lines just like the movie. So one year I decided I was going to get a Bill Allen, like something from Bill Allen. And I was like, okay, well, how do I find Bill Allen? And I started to search for him. And I found this weird, like, not legit looking website that said that they had signed pictures from him. Uh-huh. And I was like trying to find out, okay, is this legitimate or is this some kind of scam? So I found out that Bill Allen's brother had a band and he had a Facebook page with their phone number. So I called Bill Allen's brother and I asked him if...
Oh my God.
And he answered. And I asked him if this weird website that I had found with these signed pictures was legitimate. And he was like, yeah, that's Bill's page. And I was like, okay, so if I order one and he'll do this message and everything, he's like, yeah, yeah. So I ordered a signed poster and I had Bill Allen write, Chris, what I wouldn't give to go ass sliding with you, Bill Allen. So we have that. It's, you know, it's a picture of, you know, Bill Allen, like Crew Jones.
That's amazing. That's so good.
His brother okayed it. So yeah, so we have that.
Oh my God.
How do you beat that? Are you gonna have like arrange for him to have dinner with Chris next?
I don't know. I tried, you know, years ago before, so like Bill Allen is actually on Cameo now. Actually, that would be a good gift. Maybe I should do that this year.
What's on Cameo?
Cameo is like...
Oh, you don't
like,
know Cameo?
Is that
like
a TV show?
No. It's like a website where you can pay celebrities to...
Say whatever
like,
you want.
Do little messages. So do you guys remember the I'm a snake guy? I'm a snake. Look at me. I'm a snake. Yeah. I had him... Julian was really into the Grinch. So I had the I'm a snake guy. And he also thought the I'm a snake guy was really funny. So I had him tell a story about the Grinch... going into Julian and Kelly's house, but like as the I'm a snake guy, and he knocked it out of the park. It was so good. Anyway, Bill Allen is on Cameo now, so maybe I can do that this year. But
Chris, don't listen to this.
This will be after his birthday is like next week. So
happy birthday, Chris.
So if I don't do that, Chris, just, you know, don't feel bad.
You know, Cameo is
it can
fun.
Be expensive sometimes, so.
Well, you know, it depends how bad Tom Felton's gambling debt has gotten.
I mean, I think, let's see, let's look, can you look up what Bill Allen?
Of course I can.
Let's
wait,
see.
Wait.
Well.
So Cameo is just a way for you to get your favorite porn star to tell you that you look good that day, or if you have kids, to have Coco Melon tell you that you're pretty cool.
And also, I will say he's $75. When I started doing these things,
actor from Rad.
yeah. So when I started doing all this stuff,
that was his peak. Was Rad?
Yes, that's all he did.
Because he's kind of a character actor, so like a lot of his things are like reporter number two.
Wow, that's my film career. I actually was a reporter on an episode of the show Necessary Roughness.
Wow.
I got paid a little more than $75, fortunately. I'm in like scene with like holding a camera.
This is a pretty good gig. I mean, it's $75 to record like a 30-second message, you know?
Hmm. I'll have to use that for my Substack.
You could. I don't know if you could get $75. You might get $25, but...
I mean... You do what you can, man. Like,
but so like that wasn't a thing when I was like looking into these things. So that's why I had to get creative and call his brother.
I know. I need to stop just looking at this website. I love it.
How much is Tom Felton?
Well, not everybody's on there, but
no, not everyone's on there. But I thought I looked up Tom Felton before. He is on here. Tom Felton is
probably like 300.
600, first of all.
Quick, call Kelly.
Maybe we can...
Now I'm just stuck in a rabbit hole.
I know. Now we're just looking up people.
That's why I'm probably going to quit Twitter, because it's a rabbit hole.
I was really super pleased with the I'm a Snake guy. Like, he is top-notch cameo. Highly recommend.
Todd Felton is 600...
Todd Felton?
What's his name?
Tom Felton.
Oh, I was like,
Tom Felton. That would be good though.
If there was a Todd Felton and he was also really expensive and people just like mistook him for Tom Felton.
Well, Tom Arnold is only $100. So
yeah, there's some guy who's like 50 and fat, who's like a Draco Malfoy wig.
Todd Felton. For all the people who just happened to mistake him for Tom Felton. Anyway, we're getting off track.
Oh, dude, I have Daniel's next present because John Lovitz is on here and I could just have him, Daniel, it stinks, from The Critic, and then that's it. We're good. There's also someone named Drunk Jesus who's on here, and he'll do your message for $9.
It's like Fiverr.
Woo! We're having fun. We're all having fun.
If this Cameo website can please cut us a percentage, that would be so nice.
The I'm a Snake guy is still 25, so he's affordable, and
Is Clint Eastwood on there?
I doubt it. The man's 96 years old and can barely get, like, stand up. Let's see.
Yeah, because my dad really loves Outlaw Josie Wales.
Clinton Eastwood. He is not.
Dang.
Yeah, so when I started arranging all of these rad gifts, Cameo did not exist. There was not a way to reach Bill Allen in a way that was not stalkerish. So
I just stood outside of his house.
I did what I had to do, okay?
Were you standing outside of his house holding up a boombox over your head?
I called his brother, who's in a band, who had a public Facebook page, okay? I just happened to be good at, like...
I just imagined you doing, like, a Bugs Bunny thing. You're standing on the side of the road showing your leg.
Hey, I once found the guy who did a tabletop war game my uncle liked. I looked him up on White Pages or something. He sent me some pictures from the game.
You contacted the person? Yeah, see, that's the kind of thing. Is I was like, all right, cool. But and here's the thing. I didn't know that Rad, like anybody else in the world knew Rad, right? I thought Rad was just something that he and his brother and his like high school buddies were just oddly crazy about. And then Daniel Tosh did a segment on it. But Daniel Tosh is Canadian, I think.
He is.
And so he was like
Comedy Central. He's a person.
Yeah, he knew. It was like a real thing. And then I was like, oh, okay, so it's not just... And then the other day, one of my coworkers knew about it.
I mean...
It's going viral.
It is actually, I would say...
For a movie that's 40 years old.
People... So my husband has all
Hey, we gotta pay
these...
Lori Loughlin's bail money somehow.
That's true. I guess her being in the movie makes it more, you know, broadly known. But like... There are people who will randomly approach my husband when he's wearing a Rad shirt and they'll be like, Crew Jones, or like Rad, or whatever, you know?
My wife does give me shirts that gets me more attention. So I'm going to ask you something
that
I never thought I would ask. Oh, just random shit. Like, she has an eye for what will make conversations awkward on the subway. No, it's usually like old hockey jerseys she gets me.
Okay.
So which do you think has costs more on Cameo? Kenny G or Kanye East? No, or the
wait.
Or the Naked Cowboy from New York City.
The Naked Cowboy is probably really expensive. He's famous.
Naked Cowboy is $50. Kenny G is $350.
It's not worth it.
But what if he plays you a little bit of that saucy saxophone? He goes, na 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 na.
He probably charges extra to play.
I you know what? At $350, that better be all the extra he needs.
I'm telling you guys, no matter what message you need to send somebody, get his name is Matt Keck. I'm a snake. He will do it all. He'll wear the little snake thing. He'll do it all with the I'm a snake voice. Just call him.
That's awesome.
Thank you for giving us a lovely story. I'm a snake guy. Anyway, so there's Lori Loughlin, Kristen? That's her name in the movie.
Yeah.
And she's sort of a love interest of Cruz.
Yeah.
We could say.
They become love interests, water sliding down a pipe.
Ass sliding. So he's like, oh, so you want to have some fun? And she's like, yeah. And so then you don't really know what they're going to get up to. But he takes her ass sliding. And it's like riding down this like pipe, like a drainage pipe.
Yeah.
Like some kind of overflow pipe into a lake. But they're fully clothed, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, they also had their shoes on.
So. Yeah, and in between slides, because they go down multiple times, They look very dry in between dunks.
Yeah, it's like they've spent all day here just kind of splashing about in their clothes. And I'm like wondering, is it hot? Is it cold? They're wearing like fall clothing.
And they reference making hot chocolate with river water, also known as they're going to have diarrhea from hell.
No, it was the 80s. It was probably like, you know, better than regular water or something. I don't know. But it's very funny because they're like, we're having a fun romantic date. And like, let's go down the slide. Like, okay, so we haven't even like described this movie at all. We've been having fun. So first, there's no problem here because it's essentially like an 80s version of a 90s kids sport movie. Like,
it really is. It's very wholesome. It's there is a lot of cursing.
I mean, there is a lot of raw-dogging, but
they have their clothes fully legitimately on in all of those water scenes. Like most of the time in movies, people at least go down to their underwear. And so I'm wondering if maybe they were told that they had to stay fully clothed. Like,
I would guess.
Because that was weird.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess. I don't know how this was pitched to whom, but I would guess Hal Needham's like, look, kids are going to watch this. We need this to be very...
There is so much cussing in this movie. That's my one complaint.
Well, 80s and kids movies.
Especially from the little sister who's like 10.
Mm. But she said, Mom's not here.
Yeah, but have you watched the original Bad News Bears, which is a kid's movie, and the kids are smoking and swearing a blue streak?
Maybe, I guess. I'm just not, you
It
know.
Was Reagan's America. They were worried about gay people, and that was it. As long as it was... as long at the end the Americans won, you were fine. Like, because I would guess they thought kids would watch this, because part of it, as I'm sure, whoever... Big BMX was, because this is before the X Games, right? But I'm sure he was telling people, this is going to make people want to do this in a way that, you know, something like Mighty Ducks, like this, there were rollerblades in there because rollerblading was hot. We're going to encourage kids to do this sport. We need to make sure kids can watch this movie.
Yeah. It had to be something like that because it was so strange to see them frolicking about in the lake with,
and just like, just slapping ass, just going full. They're in the pond, and you can just.
That's not what happened.
No, I'm fine.
This movie is so, like, after the bike prom, I was convinced that not Johnny Lawrence was going to try and kill Crew. That does not happen.
Bart Taylor,
at all.
The man.
That does not happen at all. This movie is so. Except for the cursing, this movie is so lighthearted and wholesome.
So very wholesome. Even so, like, the bad guys are the organizers of the Hell Track event, right? Because they only want their guy to win, and then they see that this small town guy is actually gonna like get, I think it was like $10,000 or something.
He qualified, so they gave him $10,000.
It's $10,000 on a Corvette.
He qualified first, and then they said no, there's a new rule. You have to have $10,000 to get in.
Wait, let's stop. We're all over the place.
That's when Lori Loughlin decides to arrange her fraud.
Okay, let's start at the start and take it away. So, at the beginning of this movie, after the shenanigans where they're like...
There's a three-hour sequence of a guy bouncing on bikes after that.
Well, we've already established the town waking up, and they're just three friends on BMX biking, and one of them is a cute girl. And then there's a parade in town. That's what I wanted to talk about. When the people come to town, this is when we have the meet cute. And we have crew stopping traffic so the old lady can get to her cake, which she left in the oven before a parade started. Which is whatever.
What do you do in a small town?
But it shows that he's a good dude and the local boy done good. Yep. Because she's going to come back and say, he's a good boy, which is going to matter later. Okay. So we should mention all these special interests because that's kind of... Like, this is like... How am I going to put this politely? If there were more boobs in this, it would be a bikini comedy from the 80s. Which is like... So there's a whole genre, which is that we have to save the blank, and if we don't, the big corporate interest is going to come down and destroy the town. And usually the thing is, we got to do a bikini car wash, or we've got to do something like there. If you just type 1980s bikini into Google, which I have.
Don't do that.
No, but like it's a whole thing. Like there's like six movies called Bikini Car Wash. That's what this is. They're going like... So you have these kids coming to town, and for some reason, the mayor's like, harumph, we need to blank. And the one bike seller in town is kind of the hero. The old crotchety man.
Old man who looks so much like Farmer Hoggett from the Babe movies.
Yes, he does.
Complete with that little hat.
Yeah, the cabbie hat. The English flat cap.
I thought about that, too. Oh,
so that's
but
what
I
those things
was,
are called.
It's weird because he was like, I was thinking about how old he was in this movie. And how he would be dead.
He is probably long. He voted for Reagan three times and then he died. And he was buried in that.
So that was a little weird that I thought about that while watching it. But yeah,
No. It makes sense. I'm with you. But he then throws up like the horns and goes, "You're a righteous dude." And then he drops dead at the end of this movie. It's a strange way to end. And then they put him in that spuck. Coffin and they launched him into space.
Does Crew play Amazing Grace on the bagpipes?
He might as well.
And all those bicyclists playing Amazing Grace and the bagpipes in a parade.
And then a bunch of them do flippy doos in black the coffin.
They laid a bagpipe down on the ground and they had a guy do the bouncy thing on top of the bagpipe and it kind of played it like while he bounced on top of it. That's how it worked.
Yeah, so... Yeah, because I think they... sort of guilt trip manipulate the head of the biking organization who's the villain. There's another 80s movie villain who looks exactly like him. There must have been a type. Well, florid, I mean, old white guys.
I think that guy might be famous. I don't know. You guys might need to look him up.
I said Hal Needham already. He looks like the bad guy, the fat sheriff from Smokey and the Bandit. Like, he's just, like you said, he's a type. He's just kind of the blustery. And again, you put a sheriff's hat on him, it's the same character. He's just whatever. But regardless, they're trying to do this. Well, celebrities have come to town. You'll just be so overwhelmed by them. But again, it's like Mighty Ducks or something. Which I know comes after this. I'm going to get the Twitter. Like, Matt might be leaving Twitter, but I am a pain pig. I have 9,000 followers, and Elon Musk charges me 7 cents for each of them.
Yeah, so it's almost like an afterthought. Oh, we'll let some of the locals try to compete if they can, because they sort of guilt trip the head of the biker group. Okay, the head of the BMX association, whatever his name is.
Steve from accounting.
Cranky old man.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just, it's, I love these kinds of movies because, like, I'll stop mentioning Mighty Ducks. It's like a ski movie from the 80s. It's the loosest of premises. We're just here to watch attractive people do vaguely stuntish things that we could almost do, but would die trying. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I could ski down a hill. Oh no, I would break in half doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
like, no, I could do. So it's the same with the BMX. I've biked before, like the first 30 minutes of this podcast. I've biked before, but the second I do a kickflip, I've scraped all the skin off of my face, and I'm just
cut to you in that arm, those double arm braces again.
They just call me Scab Boy now, and I'm janky like this forever, like I'm about to perform jazz hands. And so I know you couldn't hear the audio because this is an audio podcast, so I described it. My arm is dangling over my face, jazz hands.
Yeah, so.
Woo! Rad! So, meanwhile, somewhere around here, there's probably a saxophone. And Lori Loughlin, she can do tricks too on the dance floor because this is called Rad. And she has shoulder pads.
Not Lori Loughlin, though.
No. Maury Mofflin. But then when Lori Loughlin shows up, she has shoulder pads that I think means she's an ambassador from the Klingon Empire. Because. They're massive, considering that Crew looks like he's just closed for an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, because he's just wearing an open shirt, and she's like, meanwhile, the dude who is from Cool as Ice at the diner. My favorite is the next day when they're at the diner and the two hot blondes.
Yeah.
The court. The joke is that. Not Johnny Lawrence is the king of BMX racing, and they're his court. These two blonde girls and who go with him everywhere.
Yeah, the restaurant guy gets to leave. He says, "Well, I'll take those queens any day," or something like that. Like, well,
biker girl is not having this.
Yeah.
First of all, I mentioned this before, but he's a male gymnast, which means he's incredibly athletic. But he's a small dude, and these women.
They're taller than him.
Their poofy hair aside, they're significantly taller than him. But also, it's this joke out of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, as though like he does like a small kickflip, and these are 80s bodacious babes, right? Their tops just disappear. Like he does like a little like poop, and then like and his hands are on their shoulders up here because they're easily 4 inches, 5 inches taller than you. And he's like, "We're gonna get some burgers at this dive." And the guy's like, "Oh my god, have you seen these women? You guys have to go."
Yeah, he's like, "Leave." And he said, "It's a rule. You guys have this
$5 minimum.
Reserved.
Goodbye."
Yeah. So he kicks him out.
It's a scene that like. It's a scene that Caddyshack did more subtly. This is a cartoon. And we were talking off mic about Transformers. If Optimus Prime showed up, this movie would be the same. This is such a heightened reality. It's incredible.
Right, and someone write the fanfic where the guy who is the head of the BMX Association is Megatron, and taller sidekick is better, Starscream.
Better. It turns out that Bumblebee is his bike, and that's why he's so good. He's cheating by using a transformer as a bike. But like, he shows up, and now Bill Allen's crew has to be like the waiter, and it's devastating.
Because there's some social class commentary in here.
Yep.
Like, he's a paperboy and the waiter, it seems like the family has taken some financial hit with the dad dying.
Oh, also, he put his sister in a trash can.
Yes. And we haven't even talked about this, but there's also the jocks at school that are bullying him, because this is also like a snobs versus slobs movie, because Hal Needham just threw a dart at the dartboard and said, I guess that's the movie, this scene. Because, like, when you're writing a movie, I assume, I've tried once, you have to have, like, a goal for each scene. And sometimes it's that the jocks are like, you're trying to be a biker. And sometimes it's that these bikers have come to town and you're a poor. And sometimes it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm going to date this girl who has the same hair color and hair length as I am. And sometimes it's just like, I don't know, I guess I work at all of these businesses because he's a busboy at this diner.
He's a really hard worker.
He delivers the newspapers and he's trying to take the SATs. You know what? What I'm saying is millennials just don't work hard enough with their avocado toasts.
This movie
is amazing.
Yeah. And yeah, that's why his mom is getting on him about the SAT is because she wants him to have a more secure future rather than risking it all on this unlikely dream, which luckily for everyone involved, it works. I mean,
because
no spoilers here.
Because it's Reagan's America. The only thing you could do is do the long shot and hope for the best. Oh God!
They must not have SATs very often if that's a problem.
Yeah,
I was gonna say this doesn't make any sense anymore.
Well, no.
I mean, they are a small town.
Well, that's what Lori Loughlin says. She's like, well, you could just take it in 6 months.
Yeah, which again is still crazy, but still, she's like, I didn't take the SATs. I just faked my results, and now my kids are in college. Wee!
You want to go down that hill again?
It would take the judge ass sliding, and maybe won't go to prison.
Sometimes I sit on the dryer for fun. And that Lori Loughlin is the best. I mean, I will say she has all the hair that I wish I still had. But also...
Don't worry, you have plenty of hair still.
Girl. But
he's doing full Prince Charming and Shrek 2 right now.
But anyway, I mean, we're dancing around this because the movie has zero plot.
It's just, how do you get to the big bike race that, like Karate Kid,
well,
is only about 10
minutes?
Well,
yeah, and they really do drag that out, though, because, like, so he could get in, and then they're like, oh, but actually you have to have $10,000.
Because
and
they keep changing the rules to get
rid
of him.
Yeah, they keep trying to keep him out, and he keeps getting past whatever.
Well, and it's intercut with them building a romance. We don't really, unless I missed it, which I probably did because I was having so much fun, I don't know why she's a part of this team. Because
she says something when the day after the school dance, when they're kind of like riding their bikes to go ass sliding together, she says something to the effect that they are sending her around as like an exposition. Like she is just for show.
She's not part of Fat Boy's Gestapo. Like
she is.
I thought she was.
She's in the car.
She's in
the
parade.
The five twins and blonde boy. They seem to be the ones who directly work for the organizer.
No, but she was like his ex.
She is on some kind of contract.
Well, I figured they were the. She was part of the hundreds of out of town bikers who showed up.
No, she was like his ex girlfriend because she goes up in like. He comes to her and sticks his head in the window.
And she raises the
right because
the thing.
They broke it up.
That's what people don't know, that you gotta
crank off the window.
Crank
that.
Is that what I'm trying to?
I'm having flashbacks to my grandma's car.
I'm
gotta
the
crank
window.
That.
I'm nutting the window right now. See previous episode.
That was a different podcast.
Yeah.
Refer to Mortal Kombat.
She's nutting the window. No, because. My feeling was she got on the tour because she was in love with Blondie, and then the babe started to show up because he was a star, and so he left her. I mean, that's how I interpreted it. And then she found someone with the exact same
bike,
hair
though.
Color.
She can bike, though.
Maybe she was part of the show. Maybe that's how they met. Maybe it's supposed to be a parallel of the other couple. Remember, because there's the tall dude and the girl who you thought was a boy with long hair?
Yeah.
So that's supposed to be, like, remember how we used to bike together, and now you found these two bimbos who are taller than you.
And are
so, you won the gold in L.A.
And are so snobby, like they go to the town, like, clothing store and just talk smack about the stuff in there. But you think this looks good? No.
I mean... It's the eight. It's the slobs versus snobs comedy.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And, I don't know. I didn't really put a lot of too much thought.
Oh, I was putting all sorts of things on this movie because it became my favorite movie. So I put a bid in on that $190 version of it on eBay.
Did you really?
No, of course.
Oh, okay.
I bought the $12 version Blu-ray because I have to own this now. I do. Anyway, so like most of these kind of awesome movies, the last 45 minutes is just the competition at the end.
It's favorite, really long.
My favorite character is the fat, blustery guy who works in the restaurant with him, who's just like, who looks like a fat guy who has a terrible YouTube page about
He's
him.
He's like, I hope
pizza.
He gets his butt kicked.
They keep calling him Blob. His actual name is Bob.
His name is Bob. And he's like, rrr, rrr. And he roots against him until he starts winning, and then he starts hitting on the lady next to him. He goes, I know him. He goes, you are fat and terrible.
Yeah.
Which is really, it's a choice. This movie is so choice. Guitar, riff, and saxophone. Oh, God help.
I mentioned this earlier. I compared this to Karate Kid, because Karate Kid, the actual tournament, doesn't take that long minute-wise. In this movie, the actual cycling final cycle match doesn't take that long minute wise either.
Well, really? All, it seems, no, maybe it seems long like to me.
100% wrong. I'm watching this as we go. We're at minute 43 and the final competition starts of a movie that's a 90 minute movie.
Because they have to jump through all those hoops that the evil BMX league keeps putting in their place.
Okay, so I guess we're arguing about different things, but that final competition where he has to qualify,
because the qualifying one takes a while.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the last race.
Yeah, that's the first. So that must be where we are.
Yeah, because that starts at minute 42 of what turns out to be a 90 minute movie.
Yeah, I'm talking about the actual last race. The qualifying one took a while because they keep doing the same loop de loop like three or four times,
but
down cliffs.
I will make one quick correction then, because we've done the first Karate Kid movie on this, I think, at this point.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's a two-hour movie. The final competition takes 30 minutes. This is literally half the movie.
Oh, great. Now I'm having flashbacks to high school math. We're going to do a ratio and compare them.
Yeah, we fucking just did, Quinn.
15 over 70, 30 over...
This,
120.
This is literally 50% of the movie versus 25% of the movie. Like, we're talking. And I do like the guy from ESPN 9 who shows up. He's like, so what do you think is going to happen at this competition? And the fat, blustery guy's like, you know, I think our guys are going to win it.
Yeah, because that's how Mom found out that he was going in the race instead of taking his SATs, because they were on TV.
Because it was on the news, yeah.
And his mom is in their basement ironing, and she's like,
We should also just talk about, because we're here, there's all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like previous episode of Mortal Kombat, 5,000 bikers who show up out of nowhere, which is great. And then there's all these biker babes who show up. Like, there's these women just, like, touching the bikers. Like, and of course, we have the two, like, vaguely blonde bombshells from before wearing, like, the stuff. And they're just behind the much shorter Billy guy. But also just other ladies who are just like, ooh, maybe you'll be the one who'll win.
I feel like these BMX bikers are not like big. I feel like they're all pretty small guys. Like, I think they have to be small to be able to do.
Like being like a jockey on a horse. You can't be too big.
Yeah, yeah. So that's.
Well, it's funny to me because when I was a kid, one of my favorite N64 games was Tony Hawk Pro Skater, right? And then after Tony Hawk became the biggest game on the planet for a while, they had the Matt Hoffman BMX game, right? And so BMX is something that was just kind of around. I get that.
Yeah.
But Tony Hawk, on the other hand, is a big dude. And we talked about this earlier. He is always a dude who wears a helmet and wears his pad because he knows kids are going to emulate him.
Yeah.
So he wants to be good. At the end of this, during the actual competition, they are all wearing their helmet. And I'm sure that was a note because I bet you they thought, kids are going to watch this. Also, we're going to have most of them be stunt actors. So we can't let them be able to tell them apart. And in fact, Crew, who is not a good... He's actually a BMX guy.
Yeah, he's not really
Crew. He's wearing a helmet and he has goggles. And so we can't tell them apart.
Yeah, so a lot of the movie, when they're riding their bikes, are not wearing helmets. I'm like, huh.
Early.
Yeah.
But again... Wear your fucking helmets.
He did wear a helmet when he did when he was doing the flip.
Yeah.
When Uncle Becky told him he was not doing it right, and she told him to take away the mattress.
Which is a great scene.
Yeah.
But that's him. That's why he's the protagonist, because he learns.
He's growing.
He's growing as a character. I do love the guy though who looks like Seth Rogen who keeps showing up going. He's doing better this time. Because he starts out rooting against him, and then he's like, wait a minute, this is a slobs versus snob comedy, and I'm kind of a slob. I should root for the poor kid. Like, because he kind of Oh, God. I love... This movie, they should just remake it exactly for every sport. Like, because it's kind of Cool Runnings. It's kind of like...
It really is. I mean, there's really... Like, there's really not...
I want to play rugby, like Australian rules football. No, you can't play Australian rules football. You're a poor kid. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to win. Like, it just should be for everything. They kind of made that.
Well, they do this whole grassroots, like, the sister makes the t-shirts, you know, and...
Did you get him that t-shirt, though?
He has, yeah, he has,
the,
well,
the red. Yeah,
red, he has a red rat racing. He has, in the beginning of the movie when the little red-haired kid is picking on his sister and he's like, Bart Taylor's better than Crew. He's wearing a gray Bart Taylor the Man t-shirt. He has that one.
Bart Taylor the Man, the legend.
He has some that I've designed. Like, he has the, you know, the Rattalorian, Mandalorian slash rat.
That's awesome.
Very niche. And he has won the bike dance with me. Like, I mean, every year I try to get him something rad for his birthday. So, like,
First of all, it sounds rad.
I got to think of, like, the best quotes from the movie, though. Like what you said about calling the guy Blob instead of Bob. Something related to that might be.
Maybe when Lori Loughlin is telling him to lead with his head or whatever that was.
You need to get...
Oh, yeah. When the... rotating, you're letting your body lead your head or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure someone like has a script in like a notepad form on the internet somewhere.
There was one where his little sister says in the beginning of the movie where she's like, check out a town, Jim. Something like that. But Chris, he didn't remember that one. So I don't know. I'll think of something.
I need to just show up with, like, a beard and a mustache and go, like, you're a loser! And just yell at him and walk away.
And he'll be like, what does this mean?
Nothing.
Yeah, it won't mean anything.
You just need to get him, like, an old 80s, like, white hockey mask. And like, because what he's wearing at the end is, like, a hockey
mask. Yeah. That's like, his non-pro helmet.
You need to talk to Candace. I want a Lebowski sweater. Bowski and Back to the Future. They're my two favorite movies. We'll just do something there. I also love that his friends keep showing up, but like at the final race, like his buddy looks like Stuart Wellington.
Was he the one who broke his arm?
He busts his bike. Like his front wheel gets messed up.
Because the bike gets wrecked. And later we see him signing a cast or something. I'm like, oh, wait, he hurt himself again?
No, different person. He's signing the cast for someone else.
Because the qualifying round, you get see guys like going off the trail into the river.
Like, they're like falling to the side. And
yeah, his buddy who breaks the wheel shows up later and he's like, sorry, dude, I'm out. Like, I busted my wheel. And he like...
I was also trying to look at the... like all the sponsors in the show. So like, you know, at the end you see all these kind of sponsors in the background. There was one that says something like crispy corn balls or something. Crispy corn.
It was Kix. It was the breakfast cereal Kix.
Crispy corn something. Cereal. Was it? Does it say crispy corn cereal?
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought that might be a cool shirt. Crispy corn cereal. Yeah, he has Kix at the beginning.
No. But Kix is one of the sponsors, and they go into a bowl and they ride up the spoon.
That did not happen in this movie.
It does absolutely happen.
What?
Google image search time.
No, I'm watching the fucking movie right now. Here's Lori Loughlin's ass. That's not what I'm going to show you. But regardless, so at the end of the competition, as you were saying, they keep upping the thing, right? The kitty, like, to get in, you have to do XX and Y.
Yeah, so it goes from, like, just qualifying to being $50,000. To qualify, which the townspeople, we did skip this, the townspeople hold like a town meeting.
Yes.
And Crew has like gotten frustrated and given up because they keep like upping the ante on him. And the townspeople have had a town meeting and they are all like rallying for him to be able to participate in this to like represent their town because he's a good kid and whatever. And ultimately it is the town cop who gets up in front of everybody and he's like, we need to do this for Crew. He's a good kid, whatever.
Kix.
Oh my gosh, it's a bowl of Kix cereal. Spoon. Are you kidding me?
And it's a spoon. It's a bowl that says Kix.
So Kix definitely sponsored this movie.
Spoon.
Because he in the very beginning of the movie, he's eating Kix.
Kix.
Yeah, and so.
Which he does on the bike. He kicks and does a Kix spin.
Yeah.
Okay. And, yes. Those are Kix as well.
And meanwhile, kind of Kix. When they need only raise half the money,
Kix.
Old man Timmons or Timmer or whatever his name
Timmons,
is buys 27,000 of those shirts to make the $50,000, and he tells Fat Boy that those shirts will be worth more.
They're going
to
be worth something after this.
And so
all those rad racing shirts.
We should also mention we haven't talked about them at all, but there's Billy. The main evil guy because he's blonde and so he's evil.
Bart Taylor, the man.
Yeah. But also there's these two twins.
The twins.
Who are supposed to take
the
out.
The Goonies.
Who are supposed to take him out on the race.
Because Fat Boy Slim is telling them to take out our crew, our hero.
Yeah, he said all you have to do is take out that kid so he doesn't screw up their race.
And immediately Bart goes, that's bullshit. Right? Because he just wants to win as a competitor.
He wants to play honestly.
Which is ironic because he won gold because the Russians didn't compete in 84. Because they protested the game. So, you know, he can eat crow here. But, you know, other than 7-Eleven, which is all over this, and Kix, which is all over this, we just watched some pretty good BMX racing, which includes...
For a long time.
Well, it's also unedited because we just see some people just eat it. Like, I'm watching this as we go because I can't remember things more than 7 seconds ago. But, like, you see, like, a Vans logo and just someone face plant. Because at one point near the end of the race, it looks like a razor blade. But there's, like, this kind of double hump. And then you have to make a jump. And we just see for about, again, 45 seconds... people missing the jump. And so I just assume they go straight into like the pit of hell because they just disappear and we never see them again.
This movie sponsored to you by Johnson & Johnson leg braces.
That's right.
Arm braces and neck braces.
This movie is sponsored by Kaiser Permanente. When you blow up your knee, you know where to go. I also love here Lori Loughlin is dressed like an X-Men because out of nowhere, she's wearing a white jumper that is cut like a V-neck down to her crotch with the yellow strips and it just says Rad Racing.
Yeah, there's
each tit. It's a strong costume decision out of nowhere for her.
There's a blink and you'll miss it line that she took first in women's. So yeah. She already did her. She already had her championship. So now it's Crew's turn.
Lori's agent says she's not going to get on a bike again. So we'll just give her the gold medal and we'll walk away.
That's what the sequel should be. It should be what happened on the girls' race.
First of all, she needs to be in jail, and it's her daughter who's competing, and she's calling her mom.
Call the mom in jail.
There's a scene on the other side of the prison glass that just like, mom, I'm going to compete. She's mom, like, you shouldn't compete.
Because, you know, Christian, that's her name, got some bad habits helping people cheat in school when she was in high school to help her new boyfriend get qualified for the biker league. 20 plus years later, she's out in prison for fraud.
But I mean, like, again, also, we should just mention it's so while this is happening, like you're saying, it slows motion. So she's like, and like, we have Bart, we have the twins, because after the first round, which our hero wins the first lap, but then he wipes out, and it's totally like, it's a bummer, dude. And then he gets back up, and then we start racing again. We start racing, and it gets close. But I love that after the twins get knocked out, Bart waits so that they can...
Bart takes one of the twins out.
Yes, he does.
Bart takes his own man out because he wants a fair fight. And he waits. So, like, if he just hadn't waited, I guess he would have just won.
He would have just won.
but
I also like how the movie stops for a second and pans to the chicks in the crowd who are just cheering without bras. And it's, like, very much like the cameraman noticed something.
Is weird because, like, the whole, like, totally clothed water scene.
No, it's so distinct that all of a sudden we're like... It's as though Hal Needham was like, oh shit, what else is happening? Because we've been watching nothing but these bikers in Lycra pants.
For 40 minutes now.
And he's like, is anyone watching this? Because we established that the mom was there. And that old lady was like, that boy
he's
is so nice.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. And then it's like, but where are those babes? And then we just pan to the babe. We're like, woo! And then we pan back to the race. And we pan back to the... We haven't mentioned him yet, but he has this little toady who's a foot shorter and wears aviator glasses and a suit all the time. And he's a great character because he's like a Bond villain who's gone horribly wrong. He's just like, you should
cut. Are we talking about the sidekick of the biker?
Yeah,
because
at one
point, I think little sister kicks him in the shins.
I think she kicks him in something else too. I don't know.
She does. I think she kicks him in the balls.
It blocks it. I think she nuts him.
He's nutting all over the floor. But I my thought was he was going to cut someone's brakes. Like, he was going to, oh no, I can't stop. Like, there was a guy from a town over who was also competitive, and he was just going to die in a fireball. Like, if you remade this today, like, he would just, like, cut the brakes, and just like, oh no, the cliff, and he just explodes.
That is a good point. Like, this movie did not really have that much.
There's no body count.
Going, no.
We should also mention here that like it's like 80s like I don't even know how to describe it. It's like redneck rock. It's so like it's just like like it's just jamming along here. Occasionally there's a saxophone. It's amazing. And every lap starts at the top of this giant white wall that just says "Hell Raise," like, and it just says 7-Eleven. And the mom eventually comes around, like, this is good for America. Like,
yeah,
because there's like American flags.
She's
everywhere.
Glad that he didn't take his SATs. That he's doing this instead of his SATs.
This is better than college. He's learning more on the racetrack than in college.
Well, now he can pay for college, no matter his SAT scores, if he wins $100,000 in Reagan bucks.
Because he wins.
Yeah, if he was a loser, he'd have to go somewhere else, like Georgia Tech. But instead.
It's where my husband went to school. It's a jab. It's a jab.
But I mean, like, everything about this is just so tailor-made to exactly what this movie is. Because, like,
kind of cotton
the fat
candy.
Guy's suit doesn't fit him. And, like, he's yelling at, like, Bart, who looks so good in his suit. And he goes, you should have won the race. And he goes, yeah, well, I quit, man. I'm going to join Rad Racing Guitar Rip. And like everyone's like hugging. And he's like, hey, man, can I join your team? And he's like, yeah, bro, you can. Guitar Rip. Like, it's such a life. God, this movie is so much fun. It doesn't deserve to be this much fun.
Of cotton candy, because Karate Kid is much, much, much darker. This is just fun.
This is not. Yeah,
dude,
this is.
Yeah, the scene where Miyagi is like drunk and crying about his dead wife, which got him the Academy. No one in this movie is ever going to get a nod for an Academy Award. Don't you worry about it.
What about Blob?
What about Blob?
Hashtag what about Blob? Oh man, when we record this like for real, we should actually include some of these jokes.
No.
But like, so at the end they like do a high five and then we just cut to the dude bouncing on his bicycle as the credits in red. Just
which lasts for like 10 minutes.
Dude, and he just keeps bouncing on that bike tire.
There's like a guy running, jogging in the background. And
I don't want to work. I want to bounce on my bike all day.
He had a really nice mullet, too.
Oh, the best.
This is the 80s. Everyone has mullets.
And so my son, he has a mohawk right now, and he asked me if, I was like, yeah, that guy has a mullet. And he was like, oh, he's like, do I have a mullet? And I was like, no, I don't think so. And I was like, why? And he was like, because a kid told me, I like your mullet. So I think his hair might be getting into mullet territory, which I am totally happy with because I'm from Alabama and I like mullets.
Well, actually, I mean, as a scientific proof, I think a mohawk is the least mullet you can mullet.
Yeah, but it's this new style of mohawk where...
Oh, no, I've seen the picture. It's
like,
adorable.
It's like this. So, like, there is a long spot in the back.
Yeah.
Which I don't think it really qualifies as a mullet, but I was like, I could see how somebody could think that was a mullet.
What you need to show him is...
What should I show him?
Mid-season Seinfeld, where it looks like there was a car crash behind it. Like, it's just... It's,
yeah, because then he asked me, he was like, well, do you have a mullet? And I was like, no, because it's all long.
It's all party.
Like, it's all
there's
long.
No business. Yeah. It is all
you would
party.
Have to, it would have to be short.
When I grow my hair long, I get what I call the frullet. So it's easier just to keep it short.
Because it looks like a Frodo? What's the fro?
Afro mullet. Like, it poofs out in the front and goes long in the back.
Oh, gotcha.
That's
so I
really
look
good.
Like, so I might look like one of those kids in the Goblet of Fire movie where everyone has long hair.
Okay, you would look
I
like
don't
the
know
movie.
What you're thinking, but I think I need to see that. I think he needs to show it to us.
His mullet?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen me around when I haven't had my hair cut short.
I want to see it. I think you would look really cool, like the guy in the end credits of Rad.
It sounds pretty good. I mean, I get it. You like the high and tight. You are one click on the razor away from like a military haircut. You probably look, you look like Brendan, who's now our mutual friend, who is now an officer, so he can have hair longer if he wants in the military. But I'd say grow it out, man. Why not? It's post COVID. People have longer.
The mullet
hair.
Is back. It's the mullet back, is man. Back. So, do you guys know what a rat tail is?
Yeah.
I live in America.
So, like, one year for summer, I convinced my husband to... Well, I guess I convinced him that I hadn't left a rat tail on his hair. But I did, secretly. So, you know, we just had summer rat tails for a bit. So, I think, you know, summer mullets, summer rat tails.
I mean, right now, we're in a... We're in the dog days, and you'll wake up and it's 80 degrees, and then by the heat of the day, it's 93 with 100% humidity. So the shorter the hair, the better. I get it. And you have some lovely French braids, so they take it away from the back of your neck. For me, the second my hair, it poofs, and then it sticks to the back of my neck. So... Talk to me midwinter, and then I will consider repoofing my hair. Meanwhile, my beard I have not trimmed or shaved at all in about 3 weeks, so I'm looking particularly Unabomber-y today. And so I'm aware.
It would look better with a mullet. That's
I
all.
Would. I could.
I think everybody here except me should get mullets.
I just in general, I think the more hair, the better. No, what little hair I have left. It should grow it out. Anyway, we're out of time here. We've talked about this as long as the movie is just about.
that's an accomplishment.
It was a blast. So, Matt, how much did you hate this movie?
I thought it was fun. Wholesome, cheerful, lighthearted. No one gets nearly murdered by driven off the road in their bikes or being beaten half to death after a school dance.
That we know of.
It's fun.
I mean, I thought it was a strong choice that they had actual penetration in the sex scene, but
and fully clothed at that.
That's right.
It's weird.
In a lake.
Very Mormon. Giga, what do you got?
I agree. I think this movie is super sweet, super fun. It embodies this, like, millennial sort of nostalgia that we have for things from our childhood. It's just really fun. My kids liked it.
Yeah.
That says something when they like something like that. So
I will just say, follow me for like 2 seconds because it's going to sound really pretentious for half a minute, but post 9/11, movies are just too intense. I like things like this that just feel so vapid and airy.
Easy.
Yeah. Like, everything, even kids' movies today, like, it's so emotionally heavy. Like, I liked Encanto. It's very heavy.
It's traumatic.
Yeah. I mean, even, like, kids' high school movies, very heavy. This is just so airy and stupid. Like I said, like, that 80s, like, we've got to save the rec center. Like, that's totally fine. And you can do that, the PG version, the PG-13 version, the R-rated version. Great, fine. Like, because Caddyshack's the same slobs versus snobs kind of comedy. It's just the R-rated silly version. This feels totally fine. And that kind of a movie existed, like, well into the late 90s. And then after 9/11 or whatever, something triggered. Now everything's too serious. And it doesn't have to be serious in a... And in, like, an intense way. We're not talking action movies here. Excuse me. But, like, those iCarly movies even, they just have so much more drama. This is a lot more fun. I like movies like this that are fun and stupid, and we can riff on for now more than 80 minutes and just talk about for silly reasons, man. Like, we've done some really, like, that Osmosis Jones movie is even more intense because the guy could die. No one's going to die in this movie. The like, Rat is just so easy, breezy, and stupid. Like, and again, that's not saying it's a bad movie.
You don't know about those people on that hill.
Oh, dude.
What happened to them?
Can you just imagine?
It's like that.
We don't know.
It's that, like, scene in the beginning of 300. You see the skeletons piled up under the cliff.
Dude, just
they're all, like, wearing these skeletons, all wearing these ratty sponsors uniforms.
Just like at the beginning of the next school year, like, Principal Jowl is just like, "Hey, we'd like to start this school year by saying that we would like to this school year is dedicated to those poor radical dudes.
The 30 people that went over the hill."
Those radical dudes that lost their lives trying to do some righteous kickflip. So
on the hill track.
On the hill track.
Who have turned the lumber yard into their memorial.
That's right. They just raise one of the logs and make a giant cross over the far end of the field. Anyway, if you can find this movie, which it's more and more available.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah, I rented it off Amazon
you
Prime.
You gotta see it. It's so much fun. Anyway, so, as this is, I guess, our Thanksgiving film, we're going to take a complete weird turn for our December month. And December, for years, for us, has been our family movie month. But because it's been that, we're going to kind of go more traditional. And we're doing Christmas movies because we haven't done Christmas movies in a long time. So next week, I'm warning you, I'm presaging this. I'm stepping up and letting you know we're not going to do a movie next week. We're going to do two Rankin and Bass shorts as an alternative. And we're going to do Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and The Year Without a Santa Claus before we dive into three other Christmas movies. And I'll just tell you them all now. We're going to do Home Alone 3. Why not one or two? Because the third one was Roger Ebert's favorite of them. And I did the second one as a riff for Cineprof. So if you want to hear us do it, you got to give me $5. Second, we're going to do The Miracle on 34th Street with Mara Wilson from 1994. And we're going to end with a horror movie because when the holidays are over, everyone feels like garbage anyway. So we're going to end December with Silent Night, Deadly Night, where if I remember correctly, the final girl is crucified on a reindeer antlers mounted to the wall of her house. And then, gentle listeners, we'll start January with Hoffmania month as I pick four movies straight, one of which is already in the can. So thank you for listening. Thank you for recording and doing all you do. And if you're listening to this as it comes out, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy your holiday season, and thanks to everyone.
Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Nur Trinette and Daniel Suttis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Nur Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, Creative Commons/licenses by /4.0. Thanks.